SourceTrunk, your trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to SourceTrunk episode 47, recorded on the 9th of March 2009. This podcast will try to show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do this by taking random open source software and give it a little test run. With this episode, I'll be drinking a Brugge Triple, and this one is from the Palm Breweries. And the special thing about this one appears to be that it has three fermentations. It has the first initial fermentation, then the second one in the maturation vessels, and then the last one, of course, the third one in the bottle. Speaking of the bottle, it comes in a blue, well, not in a blue bottle, but in a brown bottle with a blue tag on it. And I must say, I'm not too fond of beer in blue tags. It puts me off just a little bit, but that's just me. It's a nice mixture of malt and hops. Smells delicious. It has a caramel flavor to it, and it appears to be because of the boiling. The boiling causes the sugar to caramelize and produce a very unique taste. It's an amber color, 8.2 degrees, and it's a triple, so what could possibly go wrong? Just having a sip. Caramel. And pretty good. Okay. Speaking of beer, my fiancé left today for a trip to Scotland. She'll be there for a week, and she's a college teacher, so she is invited by the Scottish Moray College, and she will teach Scottish students about Belgium and Belgian teaching methods. Now, she will also talk about Belgian export products, namely chocolate, and of course, Belgian beer. So I helped with the preparation of the latter, of course. I let out the fact that Belgian brewers make a lot of Scottish ale as well. It's Belgian beer, but it's made according to the tradition and methods of real Scottish ale. I did not want to have her to go into a discussion with students about the fact that Belgians make Scottish beer, so I left it completely out of the presentation. And if you're a Scottish listener, please don't be offended. You have your whiskey, we won't touch that, but the beer, well, that's ours. Let's go. First of all, thanks for the great feedback lately. Although I don't put out content often, the number of downloads keep rising. It's really nice to see that. The AUG wins from the MP3 format as well for the first time. I think it Audacity episode had a few thousand more AUG downloads than MP3, so that's a first, and I hope the AUG downloads will keep winning from MP3. But as I said, a lot of listeners have to use MP3 in the cars because some cars come with MP3 players nowadays with USB sticks and so on and so on. So that's why I keep offering the MP3 download as well. Speaking of content, I have the preparation for an episode ready about a really, really cool application, but there are still some rough edges, some things I don't really grasp totally, so I'll have that one in a week or so. But for now, to fill the gap, here's a quick and little roundup so far. If you don't like the roundup, no problem, skip this episode, and we'll hopefully meet in the next episode. For the people who don't know the roundup, it's just an episode where I will look back at about 8 or 10 or 7 episodes, what I've discussed, and see if I'm still using it myself. It's all good and well to talk about software, but what's the use if I don't even use it anymore after just reviewing it? So here goes the little roundup. First in line is K3B, which is a RIP CDs DVD DVD copier. It's more than that. With the K3B application, you can burn your own DVDs, movie DVDs, audio DVDs, audio CDs, data content, and so on and so on. It's really easy to use. And if you're interested, just hop on to episode 34. I still use it, of course. It's my main DVD writer, CD burner. Then Mr. Random, which is a music player filler. Mr. Random is still a Java application, which you can use to randomly fill your music player of choice. And yes, I still use it on a daily basis for my music in the car, and it's really, really good. Tail for Windows. Tail is a little application that lets you have your logs displayed to you like you would with a tail Unix command. It's every time a new entry is written to the log, you can see it via a tail command in under Unix. But there's no such thing in Windows, so there is now since a long time a tail application for Windows. And even today, I'm still using it, by the way. Even today, I had to install one of the Windows application servers for my work. And while I was doing the installation together with a Windows system engineer who is the owner of the machine, I'm just installing applications on it, he noticed a little application on desktop and he said, "Is that Tail yours?" And I said, "Yes, is that a problem?" "No, not at all, but I'm interested because effectively on a Windows machine there isn't such a thing." And you see, even Windows system engineers sometimes see the great benefit of little open source applications on a Windows server. Then in episode 35, I talked about MPlayer, which is the all-time media player who will play anything, just about anything. If you haven't tried out MPlayer, really have a go right now. You can download while you are listening to this episode, or maybe you're driving, then you'll just have to make a mental note. In episode 36, yes, of course I'm still using MPlayer, of course I am. In episode 36, I talked about Mencoder. And Mencoder is the little brother of MPlayer, which will encode from one container and codec to another container and codec. And I'm not only talking about video, it can be audio as well. It encodes it in a lot of different containers and codecs. And yes, I'm still using that. I'm using it as a little script engine for my MIFDV. Everything that comes out in MPEG will be automatically mencoded to a smaller AVI container just to have a little more space on my server. Really try out Mencoder if you want to convert from one format to another. And you can do lots of stuff with it. You can even mencode radio protocols or it's just hop on over to MemPlayer, you'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, in episode 37, I talked about AW Stats, which will read your web server statistics and display it on a website, which is really good. Really, I've used it. I'm not using it anymore because I'm not administrating web servers anymore. But when I was doing that, I used AW Stats on a regular basis. PIWIC. That does the same without the server logs. If you only have the web server, but you don't have the web server logs, then PIWIC will, via little codes, snippets in your HTML pages, will track every move of all your visitors. So that's what I'm using on SourceTrunk, and it's really, really good. Yes, I'm still using that. And then I talked in that same episode about Chord, which is, as I said, a marvel amidst the RDP jungle. If you use an Apple machine and you have to administer some Windows servers, which I have to do, I have in my Chord, I think by now 30 Windows servers. Well, Chord is just what you need. It it gives you a way to log on to a Windows server via RDP with the Mac. Very easily. That's really what you need. And they upgraded to a newer version, and it's really, really good. It got more stable than when I talked about it. Really try out Chord. In episode 38, I had a little open discussion about software in general with my good friend Frank de Grave from Neat Little Mac Apps. And until this day, I'm still having feedback about that little discussion we had in France. So if you're interested in some major rambling about software, hop on over to episode 38. Then In episode 39, I used a pen drive to boot any computer with or without a hard drive, and the software that helped me with this was from the pendrivelinux.com website. I'm not using that anymore because I use PXE Linux to boot off my machines from my own server. But if I would be using a pen drive, I think pen drive Linux would be the way to go still today. Maybe I'm mistaken, just give me a mail and propose something else. But until now, that's what I would be using. Then in episode 40, I talked about Gallery, the web environment in which you can store your own pictures and movie files and share them with friends and have them make their own albums on your own server and invite friends and make sub-albums and so on and so on and so on and so on. Yes, I'm still using that. And I'm at this moment even sharing content for family on that server. For example, my mother-in-law just gives me her camera. I'll upload the pictures to my web server in her own little album, and she can do the rest from there. She can have people register, she can make sub-albums, and so on and so on. She doesn't do that because she doesn't know how to make people register and so on and so on. I do it for her. But if she would take the time, it would be easy for her to do. So yes, Gallery, I'm still using Gallery, and I'm even considering to only use Gallery to manage my pictures because it's just that simple and it's just that robust. It's really good. And then in 41, I used the Advanced MAME. So that was the application that will warp you back when to the time where joysticks were merely sticks with a round top to give you the pleasure of playing games from the 80s or the 90s or even 2000, but just the older games. And yes, I'm still using that. As a matter of fact, I have bought ourselves a big LCD screen. We always had CRT televisions we got from friends or family. Most of the time we did not buy our own television because there was always someone throwing away a perfectly good television. And this is really the first time we bought an LCD. Not really expensive, but big. It is really big. And I think I'm going to play some Advanced MAME games on that one. That means it'll have a lot of work to upscale those big pixels. But still, I'm going to try. So yes, I still use Advanced MAME. That's it for the little roundup. I told you it was going to be short. And I must say, I think I still use 80% or 85% of the applications I talked about. Okay, let's wrap it up. Oh yeah, a family member yesterday talked about a MacBook he bought himself. He was a Windows user, but now he had to buy a new software for his digital photography and other stuff. And he asked me if he should buy the Adobe Creative Suite 4, which is pretty expensive. And I immediately asked him what he was going to do with the Adobe Creative Suite. And it appears that everything I wanted to do could be done by the GIMP, which is an excellent photo manipulation program. You can compare it to Photoshop, but then completely open source. And it has a really big and long history, which I will talk about very soon. And he asked if he should buy Office for the Mac. And I immediately said, well, no. Download OpenOffice, go the open format way. And after a while, he got interested, and I just invited him to test them out. If it suited his needs, well, he doesn't even have to make a small contribution, but if he really likes the software, a little contribution is enough to, well, thank the volunteers and programmers who have put a lot of time and effort in those beautiful applications. And if it didn't suit his needs, he could always buy the commercial software. So this is the way, in my opinion, to do it. Don't push people to open source software. Just let them try it out and guide them a bit in doing so. As I said, really thank you for the wonderful feedback lately. And I in particular got a question from a listener who owns a Nokia smartphone, and he really has a tough time connecting it to a Linux machine. And I must say, I don't have a Nokia smartphone. I'm using an old Dell Axim X30. And I must say, I have my share of problems connecting it to my Linux and FreeBSD boxes as well. So if you have some guidelines, or if you know a way, or if you tried software that will connect Nokia smartphones to a Linux system, just give me a little shout at sourcestring.com, or mail me directly via sourcestring@gmail.com, and then I'll come update it in the next episode. I'm leaving you with Carpool Lane by Carne Cruda. Thanks for your time, and good hunting.